Thank you for joining this series on knowing God. We're studying the magnificent and infinite attributes of God, and no study will humble the mind more, or expand the mind more, or comfort the mind more than knowing God and who He is. We are still experiencing the effects of the COVID pandemic, the isolation, the lockdown. But I hope that you are still growing in your grace and knowledge of our Lord. I hope that this faith test is actually drawing you close to Him, strengthening you, so that when this is all over, our faith will actually be stronger rather than weaker. Let's begin by noticing that the Bible tells us that God is light. And we notice this in 1 John 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does this mean? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When we talk about this attribute of God, this expression of His character, God is light. First of all, we would say that it describes the glory and splendor of God. Pure light is incredibly bright, like the sun. It's too bright to stare at. But John was given a glimpse of the heavenly Jerusalem, and notice the description of what he saw in Revelation 21. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. So God is light, and it describes the glory and the splendor of God's magnificence. It also tells us of the purity and the holiness of God. And that's what I think of when I think of God as light. It's a description of His holiness, His purity. To say that God is light is to say God is holy. In Him there is no darkness, no impurity, nothing to hide. John describes in Revelation 22, verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. It is His holiness and His purity. And it also describes the revealing nature of God, that light reveals rather than conceals. For example, in the street markets of the Middle East, the shops are often simply little covered enclosures with no windows. And someone might want to buy a piece of silk or an article of pottery or a woven rug. And before buying it, the buyer takes it out into the street and holds it up to the sun so that the light will reveal any flaws which happen to be in it. And that's what light does. It reveals rather than conceals. And so it is with God. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So, the fact that God is light describes the revealing nature of God. And it also tells us of the guidance of God. He guides us and enlightens us with the light of His word. You are a lamp. You will lamp my. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So God guides us and enlightens us with the light of his word. The Bible calls it enlightening the eyes, or enlightening the eyes of the mind. But he guides us with the light of his word to Jesus, the light of the world. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It describes his glory and splendor, his purity and holiness, the revealing nature of God, the guidance of God. But we read that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, because darkness is hostile to the light. Throughout Scripture, darkness represents separation from God. Darkness is hostile to the light. And this is the condemnation. John 3:19, Jesus said, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Darkness is hostile to the light, and some seek shadows because they cannot stand the light. It's a bright light that reveals dark things. Others seek the light to know God and to walk in the light. Without light, we have no direction. We have no orientation. We become like cavefish who live in darkness of deep water caves. Did you know that cavefish have eyes? It's just that over time, simply living in darkness, they simply lost the use of their eyes. They adapted to the darkness by not even being able to see. And that happens to people. We adapt to groping in the darkness. We adapt to ignoring the light. We'll just watch TV. We'll just stay entertained, day by day descending into darkness, day by day becoming like cavefish, just simply losing the ability to see. Because darkness is hostile to the light. And darkness is life without God. That's what the Bible describes it as. Jesus said, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So some seek the darkness, some seek the light. Because some are trying to hide from God, and some are seeking God. In fact, it's not just from ignorance of God that people are in darkness. It's antagonism toward God. They don't want to seek the light. In fact, separation from God is actually called outer darkness. God is light. So complete separation from God is complete darkness. And the Bible calls it outer darkness, such as when Jesus told the parable of the wedding feast. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot." This was the wedding guest who refused to wear the gown provided by the king. The king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's what separation from God is described as, outer darkness. Jesus said, "I say that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He was talking about those. It was a warning, really, to the Jews the Pharisees, who thought that they were going to be in the kingdom, when in fact they were going to be cast out of the kingdom. God is light, and complete separation from God is complete darkness. And it's eternal darkness that awaits anyone who rejects God. For example, angels who sinned. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So angels who sinned are cast into darkness. And the same fate will be for anyone who rejects God. False prophets, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is the fate of anyone who leads people astray from God. It's the fate of anyone who rejects God. But here's the problem. Darkness causes blindness to the light. Just like the cavefish adapt to life in darkness, darkness actually causes blindness to the light. For example, if people hate one another, it's a sign they still walk in darkness, even if they claim to walk in the light. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See, darkness causes blindness to the light. And here's a huge problem in this world of darkness. That as people adapt to the darkness, even Satan can appear as an angel of light. You see, as people adapt like cavefish to the darkness, they live in darkness. They adapt to blindness. They simply lose the use of their eyes, or in this case, the eyes of their mind. And in this darkness, even Satan can appear as an angel of light. Remember, Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Every temptation to sin involves a lie from Satan. For every good gift from God, Satan offers you a counterfeit. For every truth, Satan offers you a lie. And if you think about this framework, there's a framework that exposes the lie in every temptation. For example, I might think to myself, you know, if only I had a new life, or a new wife, or a new status, it will make me happy. That's the lie. But underneath the lie is a longing, that I actually long for happiness. I actually long for joy. I actually long for contentment and significance and peace. The lie, though, is Satan's attempt to try to meet a longing that everyone has. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be respected. Everyone wants to feel significant. And so the lie is trying to meet the longing. But the longing is actually something that is met spiritually by God. And so we see the lie that if I go to the world, I'll be happy. I'll find status and fulfillment. That's the lie. The longing is that I want to be happy. I want to feel significant. I want joy and contentment. The light is that the truth, God actually offers you true joy, true peace, true eternal contentment. But he offers them spiritually in Christ, where there's no condemnation. There's grace to forgive sins. There's peace because we are right with God. But Satan, in darkness, even Satan can appear as an angel of light and try to fulfill that longing with the lie rather than the light. When we were recently in Santa Cruz for our anniversary, we used to spend a lot of time there, Lisa and I, and while we were down there, I was reminded of a news story of a local surfer named Kevin Reed. I knew about Kevin Reed because I used to surf. My favorite surf spot happened to be the spot that he went to a lot. Might have been his favorite too. And I heard about him because I remember one time there was a fight in the water, and this person was being completely belligerent and wanting to fight someone, and it ended up being Kevin Reed who was yelling, cursing, trying to throw somebody out of the water. Kevin Reed was something of a local hero because he was the first surfer to make the cover of Surfing Magazine doing an aerial. And he was a local surfer from Santa Cruz. He was a skateboarder who was sort of like a local hero. And everyone in that area knew who he was. But somewhere along the line, it went to his head and he got involved in alcohol and drugs. And it wasn't but just a couple years ago that he was arrested for killing a homeless man. Kevin Reed actually became homeless himself and was accused of killing another homeless man. He was arrested. Later, the charges were dropped for lack of evidence. But it just showed the downfall of somebody who had seemed to have it all. And this is what happens when we believe the lie to fulfill a longing. He wanted to be famous, and he was. He wanted to be the best, and he was. And yet, he believed that being famous or being the best or being respected would actually make him happy. That was the lie. And it doesn't matter if it's Kevin Reed or if it's Judas who thought that money would make him happy, or King Solomon who thought pleasure would make him happy, or Pilate who thought power was the most important thing, or the Pharisees who thought prominence, respect was the most important thing. Times change, but human nature stays the same. Darkness causes blindness to the light, and we end up believing the lie to fulfill a longing that actually is a deep longing within the heart of every human being. The desire for true joy, true peace, true contentment, true significance. All of the things that God provides for us in a relationship with Him. God wants you to have true peace, true joy, eternal contentment. And all of that is offered in Christ. And so, let's remember that while in darkness, we become blinded to the light. So much that even Satan can appear as an angel of light. So much that we'll believe a lie to fulfill a longing that's actually fulfilled with the light, the truth of God, who is eternal. So God is light, and he has called us out of darkness into his light. And he did this by sending Jesus, the light of the world. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus was encouraging his disciples to walk in the light so that the darkness would not overtake them. I remember Rudy was telling me about a hunting trip that he had taken with a group of men from the church up north. And one of the men was caught after dark, and he couldn't find his way back to the camp. All the other hunters had made it back to camp, and yet one was still caught after dark. And once darkness hit, it was so dark, he couldn't find his way back. And so what they decided to do was they took the four-wheel drive rigs up on a high hill, and they turned the lights on so that the lost hunter found his way through the dark to the light and made it back safe. He was able to follow the light even in the darkness, and he made it home. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So those who follow Christ will no longer walk in darkness as the rest of the world does. They will actually have the light of life. And so God has called us out of darkness into his life. He sent Jesus, the light of the world, and only Jesus can deliver us from darkness into the light. Paul says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In Colossians, Paul wrote, "He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Only Jesus can deliver us from the darkness into the light. And we still live in a present evil age. We still live in a dark world. But now we've been called out of darkness into his light. We are now in the kingdom of light. And we are called to be children of light and walk in the light. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So God has called us into his light to become children of light. That is, to display the same spiritual traits as our Father in heaven. In the time of John, there were some Christians who wanted to be teachers, not because they loved the Lord or because they loved the truth, but because they loved themselves. And they wanted the status, like the Pharisees wanted the status. They wanted to be elevated above others. And so because of this, not only were they susceptible to false teaching, they embraced it for how it elevated themselves as having some form of special knowledge. It made them feel better than others. And John called them out, just as Jesus called out false teachers. "By their fruits you will know them." And that's what the book of 1 John is about. So how do we know if we actually walk in the true light? John tells us, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So God is light, and we are to live in the light as children of light. We're to walk as Christ walked. We practice righteousness because he is righteous. We are to be pure because he is pure. We love one another because God loved us. We are patient with one another because God is patient with us. We bear one another's burdens because God bears our burdens. We walk in the light because he is light. And we walk as Christ walked. We live as Christ lived. And when we do that, when we live in the light, notice the blessing of forgiveness that we have. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then his blood, the blood of Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. We have grace there, forgiveness, because we're walking in the light. I remember a preacher describing this walk in the light, and he said, it's like when you were young and you used to try to walk on that curb, and you'd be walking on the curb along the sidewalk there, and every once in a while you'd lose your balance and you'd step off into the gutter, but it would only be for a second. You'd just bounce right back up on the curb and keep walking on that curb. And the question is, are you walking on the curb or are you walking in the gutter? The answer is you're walking on the curb. Even though you occasionally stumble, even though occasionally you step off, you step right back on. And that's what it's like walking in the light. And as we walk in the light, we have access to the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. God is light, and we are to live in the light as children of light and to reflect the light of his glory in a dark world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So God is light, and we are to live in the light as children of light, to reflect the light of his glory in a dark world. And we do that by walking as Jesus walked, living as Jesus lived. May God bless you as you walk in the light.